A pleasant good afternoon, everyone. This is your host, Mike Worf, with this Thursday's edition of Kaleidoscope. L. Frank Baum was all too familiar with failure until he invented the enchanting kingdom that still delights children all over the world. Today, we should like to present his story and, of course, excerpts from the marvelous work itself. As on Kaleidoscope, we present The Wizard Who Created Oz. Begin with today's program following these all-important words from our sponsors. At the turn of the century, a man who had failed at almost everything he had attempted wrote to his sister, "When I was young, I longed to write a great novel that should win me fame. Now that I am getting old, my first book is written to amuse children. For aside from my evident inability to do anything great, I have learned that to please a child is a sweet and lovely thing that warms one's heart." The man was Lyman Frank Baum, and his best-known book began to take form when a group of children, led by his own four boys, waylaid him one evening in his modest Chicago home, demanding a story. Baum told them about a little Kansas farm girl named Dorothy, who was carried by a cyclone to a strange land where she met a live scarecrow, a man made of tin, and a cowardly lion. One of the children asked, "What was the name of this land?" Stumped, Baum looked around for inspiration. In the corner of the room were filing cabinets, and one bore the letters O-Z. "The Land of Oz," he exclaimed, unaware that he had added a new word to the English language. Baum seldom wrote down the stories he liked to tell his children, but he was strangely attracted to this one. Jotting it down on a handful of scrap paper, he took it to William W. Denslow, a well-known illustrator. Denslow outlined an ambitious book, 24 Denslow drawings as full-page illustrations in a six-color printing scheme, and innumerable sketches tinted in various tones to be superimposed on the text. Baum eagerly agreed. Publishers did not. The two men were turned down by nearly every house in Chicago. Baum's conception of an American fairy story was too radical a departure from traditional juvenile literature, and Denslow's elaborate illustrations would price the book off the market. But at last, George Hill agreed to publish the book, provided Baum and Denslow pay all printing expenses. He thought the new book might sell as many as 5,000 copies. The Wonderful Wizard of Oz was published on August 1st in the year of 1900. By October, 25,000 more copies had to be printed, and 30,000 more in November. Today, over 6 million copies have been published, making it one of the best sellers of all time. It's been made into a musical comedy, movies, puppet shows, radio shows, and long-playing recordings. The 1939 movie musical with Judy Garland, shown on television every Christmas season, has become an American tradition. Thank you.
Dorothy, we're busy. Please, we're trying to count.
Zeke, what am I going to do about Miss Gus just because total chases are okay?
Listen, honey, I got them hogs to get in.
Now, look at Dorothy. You ain't using your head about Miss Gulch. Think you didn't have any brains at all.
I have so got brains.
Well, why don't you use them?
Any of them? Really? You know what Miss Gulch said she was going to do to Toto? She says she
now,
was going
to... Now, Dorothy, dear, stop imagining things. You always get yourself into a fret over nothing. Now, you just help us out today and find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble.
Some place where there isn't any trouble. Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto? There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain.
Frank Baum was born in Chittenango, New York, in the year of 1856, the seventh of nine children of a prosperous oil man. A sickly child, he spent much of his time acting out fantasies with a host of imaginary playmates. When he was 12 years of age, his parents sent him to Peekskill Military Academy to shake out of him the dreams in that other world of his. From then on, he was always disliking the military. A favorite theme in the Oz books is the overstaffed army composed of hordes of generals, colonels, majors, and captains commanding one browbeaten private who is expected to do all the fighting. But Baum was never capable of malice. Even the officers are affectionately described. The general's explanation for his abject cowardice is the reasonable statement that fighting is unkind and liable to be injurious to others. For a time, Baum was enamored of the stage and, aided by his father, started a Shakespearean troupe. But, by his own admission, the most memorable performance occurred when the ghost of Hamlet's father fell through the hole in the stage. The audience of oil workers was absolutely delighted. About this time, Baum fell in love with a 20-year-old girl, Maud Gage, daughter of a militant suffragette. The mother regarded Baum as hopelessly impractical and violently opposed to marriage. But in her resolute daughter, the strong-minded woman met her match, and so the couple were married in the year of 1882. Baum worked for a while in his family's petroleum products business, but after his father died, the business failed. He opened a store, Baum's Bazaar, in Aberdeen, South Dakota, the store went bankrupt. He then took over a newspaper called the Aberdeen Saturday Pioneer, setting the type himself and doing most of the writing, including a special column called Our Landlady. One of his columns described a community where people rode in horseless carriages. The first American automobile had not yet gone on sale, or flying machines used mechanical dishwashers and slept under electric blankets. In the year of 1891, the Pioneer failed. As Baum put it, the sheriff wanted the paper more than I did. The family left for Chicago, where Baum worked as a reporter for $20 a week, then as a crockery salesman. He now had four sons. Maud gave embroidery lessons at 10 cents each. About the only recreation the children had was to listen to their father's stories, his escape from his miserable existence. Mrs. Gage, Maud's mother, was a regular winter visitor. She, too, listened to his stories. One day she said, "You should try to have those published." Baum laughed at the idea, but his wife said firmly, "Mother is nearly always right about things, you know." And so, urged by the two women, Baum submitted a collection of stories suggested by the Mother Goose Rhymes, which was published in 1897 under the title Mother Goose in Prose. The illustrator was an unknown young artist named Maxfield Parrish. It was a first for both of them. The book did well, and Baum followed it with Father Goose, his book, illustrated by Denslow. And then came the miraculous success of The Wizard of Oz. Today's presentation of Kaleidoscope, the story of L. Frank Baum, the wizard who created Oz. When L. Frank Baum was possessed by his fantasies, he wandered around in a trance. His characters were intensely real to him. Once, when he had not written for several weeks, his wife asked him what was the matter. "My characters won't do what I want them to," replied Baum irritably. A few days later, he was back at work. He had solved the problem by letting them do what they wanted to do, he explained. The format of The Wizard is simple. As Baum says in his introduction, he intended to eliminate all the horrible and blood-curdling incidents of the old-time fairy tales. He also hoped to eliminate the stereotype genie, the dwarf, and the fairy. He was remarkably successful. Like all his characters, the Scarecrow, the Tin Woodman, the Cowardly Lion are distinct personalities. Dorothy was perhaps Baum's most successful creation. Unlike the immortal Alice who wanders politely through Wonderland without trying to influence events, Dorothy, although always gentle and innocent, is a quietly determined little girl. She intends to get back to her aunt and uncle. She is the leader of the little group of adventurers. Though she turns to the Woodman for comfort, the Scarecrow for advice, and the Lion for protection, they would obviously be lost without her. Dorothy is the descendant of the pioneer woman who crossed the plains, the grandmother of every soap opera heroine who ever faced life. She is as American as Alice is Victorian British. Delighted as he was by the success of The Wizard, Baum had no intention of writing another Oz book. He wrote books that were not about Oz. But to children, Oz was a real place, and Baum himself felt attracted to it. And so in 1904, he wrote The Marvelous Land of Oz. It was nearly as successful as The Wizard itself. But then, as far as children's books are concerned, and stories, and tales of marvel and intrigue, there is no book that compares to his delightful creation, The Wizard of Oz.
No, her dog.
Oh, she bit her dog, eh?
No. That dog's a menace to the community. I'm taking him to the sheriff and make sure he's destroyed.
Destroyed? Toto? Oh, you can't. You mustn't. Eddie M. Uncle Henry, you won't let her, will you?
Will we, Em?
Well, that's for the sheriff to decide. Here's what I'm taking him in. So he can't attack me again.
You take him, you wicked old witch. Uncle Henry, Auntie M, don't let him take Joe. Oh, don't let him take him, please.
Let me have
him.
Put him in the basket, Henry.
Oh,
the idea.
Oh, Uncle Henry. Oh, Toto, darling. Oh, I got you back. Coming back for you in a minute. We've got to get away. We've got to run away.
It's a twister. It's a twister.
Kansas anymore. We must be over the rainbow.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Who, me? I'm not a witch at all. I'm Dorothy Gale from Kansas.
Oh.
What was that?
The Munchkins. They're laughing because I am a witch. I'm Glinda, the Witch of the North.
You are? Oh, I beg your pardon, but I've never heard of a beautiful witch before. But if you please, what are Munchkins?
The little people who live in this land. It's Munchkin Land, and you are their national heroine, my dear. It's all right. You may all come out and thank her. Come out, wherever you are, and meet the young lady who fell from a star. She fell from the sky, she fell very far, and Kansas, she says, is the name of the star.
Kansas, she says, is the name of the star.
She brings you good news or
What happened was just this. The wind began to switch, the house to pitch, and suddenly the hinges started to unhitch. Just then, the witch, to satisfy an itch, went flying on her broomstick, thumbing for a hitch.
And oh, what happened then was rich.
Of independence for all the Munchkins and their descendants, if any. Yes, let the joyous news be spread. The wicked old witch at last is dead.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch, oh witch, the wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead.
You said she was dead.
That was her sister, the Wicked Witch of the East. This is the Wicked Witch of the West. And she's worse than the other one was.
Who killed my sister? Who killed the Witch of the East? Was it you?
No. No, it was an accident. I didn't mean to kill anybody.
Well, my little pretty, I can cause accidents too.
Oh, rubbish. You have no power here. Be gone before somebody drops the house on you too.
Very well. I'll bide my time. But just try to stay out of my way. Just try. I'll get you, my pretty. And your little dog, too.
What is Madam Suffolk? I'm afraid you've made rather a bad enemy of the Wicked Witch of the West. The sooner you get out of Oz altogether, the safer you'll sleep, my dear.
Oh, I'd give anything to get out of Oz altogether. But which is the way back to Kansas? I can't go the way I came.
No, that's true. The only person who might know would be the great and wonderful Wizard of Oz himself.
Wizard of Oz? Is he good or is he wicked?
Oh, very good, but very mysterious. He lives in the Emerald City, and that's a long journey from here. Did you bring your broomstick with you?
No, I'm afraid I didn't.
Well, then, you'll have to walk. The Munchkins will see you safely to the border of Munchkinland.
But how do I start for Emerald City?
It's always best to start at the beginning, and all you do is follow the yellow brick road.
The yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, 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 follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick road. You're off to see the wizard. The wonderful Wizard of Oz. You find he is a wizard of wiz. If ever a wiz there was. If ever, oh, ever a wiz there was. The Wizard of Oz is one because of the wonderful things he does. You're off to see the wizard. The wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Please press fast forward. Let side one of the tape expire. And turn cassette over for the concluding portion of this presentation, The Wizard Who Created Oz, The Life, The Times, The Story of L. Frank Baum.
You're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. You find he is a wizard of wiz, if ever a wiz there was. If
If ever or ever a wind there was, the Wizard of Oz is one, because of the wonderful things he does. You're off to see the Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Which way do we go?
Pardon me. That way is a very nice way.
Who said that? That's funny. Wasn't he pointing the other way?
Of course, people do go both ways.
Are you doing that on purpose? Or can't you make up your mind?
That's the trouble. I can't make up my mind. I haven't got a brain. Only straw.
Oh, I'm a failure because I haven't got a brain.
Well, what would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be another Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Oh, I could tell you why the ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never thought before, and then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just a nothing, my head all full of stuffing, my heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry, life would be a ding-a-dairy if I only had a brain.
Wonderful! Why, if our scarecrow back in Kansas could do that, the crows would be scared to pieces.
They would?
Hmm.
Where's Kansas?
That's where I live. And I want to get back there so badly, I'm going all the way to Emerald City to get the Wizard of Oz to help me.
Do you think if I went with you, this wizard would give me some brains?
I couldn't say. But even if he didn't, you'd be no worse off than you are now.
Yes, that's true. Look, I won't be any trouble because I don't need a thing. And I won't try to manage things because I can't think. Won't you take me with you?
Why, of course I will.
Hooray! We're off to see a wizard!
To Oz?
To Oz!
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. We hear he is the Wizard of Wiz, if ever a wiz there was. If ever, oh, ever a wiz there was, the Wizard of Oz is one. Because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
My goodness, I can talk again. Oh, it feels wonderful.
Well, you're perfect now.
Perfect? Oh, bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it. It's empty. The tinsmith forgot to give me a heart. All hollow. When a man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Just because I'm presuming that I could be kinda human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, and awful sentimental regarding love and art. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy who shoots the arrows if I only had a heart. Picture me a balcony
above a voice sings low.
Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
I hear a beat. How sweet, just to register emotion, jealousy, devotion, and really feel the part. I could stay young and chipper, and I'd lock it with a zipper, if I only had a heart.
That was wonderful, you know.
We were just wondering why you couldn't come with us to the Emerald City to ask the Wizard of Oz for a heart.
Well, suppose the wizard wouldn't give me one when we got there.
Oh, but he will. He must. We've come such a long way already.
To Oz?
To Oz.
We come to the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Here he is, the Wizard of Oz. You find he is the Wizard of Oz. If ever, ever a wizard there was, the Wizard of Oz is one. Because of the wonderful things he does. We're out to see the Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Suppose we'll meet any wild animals?
We might.
Oh, look!
Oh, sneaking up on me, eh?
Here, go away and let us alone.
Oh, scared, huh? Afraid, huh? Well, I'll get you anyway, Pee-wee.
Shame on you!
What did you do that for? I didn't buy them.
No, but you tried to. It's bad enough picking on a straw man, but when you go around picking on poor little dogs...
Well, you didn't have to go and hit me, did you? Is my nose bleeding?
Well, of course not. My goodness, what a fuss you're making. Well, naturally when you go around picking on things weaker than you are. Why, you're nothing but a great big coward.
You're right, I am a coward. Look at the circles under my eyes. I haven't slept in weeks.
Why don't you try counting sheep?
That doesn't do any good. I'm afraid of them.
Oh, that's too bad. Don't you think the wizard could help him, too?
I don't see why not. Why don't you come along with us? We're on our way to see the wizard now, to get him a heart.
And him a brain.
I'm sure he could give you some courage.
Wouldn't you feel degraded to be seen in the company of a cowardly lion? I would.
Oh, of course not.
Gee, that's awfully nice of you. My life has been simply unbearable.
Yeah, it's sad, believe me, missy, when you're born to be a sissy without the feminine five. But I could show my prowess, be a lion, not a mouse, if I only had the nerve. I'm afraid there's no denying I'm just a dandelion, a fate I don't deserve. I'd be brave as a blizzard.
I'd be gentle as a lizard.
I'd be clever as a gizzard.
If the wizard is a wizard who will serve,
then I'm sure to get a brain,
a heart,
a home,
the knife.
Oh, we're off to see the wizard.
On today's presentation of Kaleidoscope, turning to the story and the music of the wizard who created Oz, the story of L. Frank Baum.
Thank you.
The bomb wrote other books and tried various other ventures. It was too good. The children wanted Oz, and Bomb had no choice. He wrote 8 more Oz books, beginning with The Patchwork Girl of Oz in 1913, and turned out at least 1 a year thereafter, although his heart, never strong and now worse, caused him constant trouble. He named his house, now in Los Angeles, Ozcott. Here he lived quietly, raising flowers and feeding the birds in his giant aviary. To the many children who came to see the royal historian of Oz and listen to his stories, the house was a shrine. On May 5th, 1919, his heart finally gave up. He lapsed into unconsciousness and died the next day. Children could not believe he was dead. Even today, his publishers get letters addressed to him. There is also a growing Oz cult among grown-ups. The Oz books continue year after year to outsell almost all other juveniles. It is an extraordinary tribute to the dreamer who found that to please a child is a sweet and very, very lovely thing. Was all too familiar with failure until he invented the enchanting kingdom that still delights children the world over. And on this Thursday's presentation of Kaleidoscope, a tribute in song and story to the wizard who created Oz.
Because of the wonderful